Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, we are wrapping up our series today on Love MB. I have loved these last few weeks. I love talking about this initiative in our church. If you're a guest today and you don't know what Love MB is, man, I'm going to highly encourage you, if you don't have it already, download our app for all your smart devices. It's a great way to stay connected with our church. But also, you can go back and you can watch the last few weeks of this series. You can go back and watch other series. It's a great way to kind of get a feel for who we are. Because we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, and we've been talking about Love MB as a part of our church. And so I kind of want to take you through what we've been talking about all 3 weeks. We've been asking a question, you know, what is Love MB? Why does it matter to us? Why is it such a big deal? And here's our answer. Love MB is Wellspring's initiative to resource nonprofits that are in our community and that are making Horry County a better place. It's how we partner with organizations that are really helping change lives here in Myrtle Beach. And the way we do that is, you know, we have a heart to do so many things beyond what we are capable as a church. We have a heart for people who are hurting in our community. We have a heart for people who are struggling in our community. But we don't always have the mechanisms. We don't always have the best practices to fully help those people. As I've said for weeks, I'm passionate about helping people rise out of poverty and end homelessness. But I don't know the mechanisms by which to do that. So we partner with great organizations that do know the mechanism, they do know the process, they know how to do that, and we come alongside them and assist them in making Horry County a better place. And we partner with them so that they can continue to change lives. And the reason we do this is because we believe that as they change lives, we believe that Horry County becomes a better place, and we believe that our world has changed. In fact, we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, what is Love MB? It's our attempt to change the world. It's the way in which we are putting our money where our mouth is, and it's the way we're partnering with other people to literally change lives here in Myrtle Beach and in Horry County, because we believe that that is what God would want us to do. And so what we do is we find these great organizations, we ask them some questions, make sure they're doing a great job, and then we go to them and we ask a very simple question. We say, hey, how can we help? And because they are nonprofits, they give us two answers in this order. We need money and we need volunteers. And so we say, okay, then we are going to provide money and we are going to provide volunteers. And so for us, Love and Be is very simple. Love and Be is the way in which we give and the way in which we serve so that we can love our neighbors, so that we can love the people in our community. Last week, we focused on serving. Maybe you were here. We talked about the benefits that come from serving, and we talked about some of the benefits of pouring out and giving back to God of what he's given us so we can help other people. We actually have a Love Weekend coming in 2 weeks. You can sign up for that today. Today, also, we are giving our offering. We're giving our love offering. And the reason we do all of this is because we believe that Jesus has given us a very clear instruction, a very clear message that our love for other people, the way we treat other people, is going to be what he's going to use to prove to the world he is who he says he is. And that matters tremendously for us. We've been talking about for the last few weeks because there's a really big distinction we have to make when we talk about serving other people and loving other people and helping other people. And it's the distinction between beliefs and behaviors. And if you're a Christian, hopefully you understand this. And if you're not a Christian, as I love about our church, we have people who attend each week who don't consider themselves Christians yet. But hopefully you're going to discover Jesus here and have your mind changed, and you're going to begin to believe in Jesus just like we all do. And then you're going to have to understand the difference between beliefs and behaviors. And here's why it matters. Jesus is very clear, and we understand that it is our beliefs that change us. That is the beauty of Christianity. It's the beauty of this message. All we have to do is believe it. All we have to do is put our faith in it. All we have to do is believe Jesus is who he says he is. We have to believe that God did what he said he did when he sent his son to save us. And through belief, through faith, we can be saved. We can become Christians. There's no behavioral requirement. There's no checklist. There's no performance review. It's purely based on belief. I have to believe God loves me. I have to believe he sent his son. And I can be changed. It's our beliefs that change us. So why does Jesus care so much about behaviors? Well, it's very simple. Our beliefs change us, but it's our behaviors that change the world. It is the way we live out our beliefs. It is the way we treat other people that gets them to the point of believing what we believe. Same thing happened to us. We believe in Jesus because he behaved towards us in a loving way. We saw his behaviors and it changed our beliefs. And so for us, it's the same thing. And it's why we talk so much about love and being. It's why we talk so much about all these different things. So that's where we've been. And today, as we get close to this offering moment, so we're going to, at the end of our service today, we're going to give back to God. I wanted to spend the day really just talking about giving. Specifically, I want to talk about generous giving. If you've been around our church before, you know, we talk about giving in three ways. We talk about three pockets of giving when it comes to our relationship with God. We have the obedient pocket, which is just simply as Christians, we believe God asks for a specific portion of our income to come back to him, and we either give that or we don't, but that's an obedient thing, right? We're not being generous when we do that. We're just being obedient to God. Above that, we talk about the generous pocket. Generosity is what we're going to ask everyone to do today. Generosity says, hey, I have more than you. You need it, so I'll share it. That's what generosity is. Generosity is just simply, there's a need. I have the ability to meet some of that need, and so I'm going to give it in this moment. And then the third pocket of giving we talk about from time to time here is sacrificial. There are times that God will ask us to sacrifice something we want, sacrifice something we have in service of someone else. If you were a part of our church years ago when we moved out of the YMCA into this building, we asked people to sacrifice with us for 3 years so that we could build this place to have people come, and many people did. That's not what we're doing today. This isn't a sacrificial moment. We're not asking people to sacrifice things. We're asking people to be generous. This is an opportunity to be generous. Now, I understand the way 2020 is gone, that generosity can look different right now. Whereas some people's generosity 12 months ago is probably completely different than their generosity capacity right now because of increased expenses, because of lost businesses, because of lost revenue. I completely understand that. And again, that's why I want to talk about generosity today. I also understand there's people in our church, people watching online, man, 2020, you don't talk about it real loud. You kind of keep it to yourself. But, like, it's been a good year. Like, your business has not been impacted. You're kind of doing well. Again, you don't broadcast that a whole lot, but you're doing well. But you look at the uncertainty at the end of 2020. You look at the uncertainty going into 2021, and it's like, man, you know, I could be generous, but I don't know if it's wise. I don't know if it's smart. I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if there's any benefit to doing that. And that's really the question, honestly, I've been wrestling with for months, because I've known this was coming up on the calendar as we've been looking through, you know, planning this year. And I'm like, man, we gotta talk about giving, and we gotta talk about being generous in this moment. And, you know, as the pastor, when you talk about money, people already get very concerned. And so I'll go ahead and give the disclaimer I always give, especially if you're a guest. Look, today, you know, we're going to talk about the benefits of giving and being generous. And at the end of our time, we're going to give people an opportunity to be generous. And, you know, if God moves on your heart to be generous, I hope you will. But if at any point today you get the sense that I'm up here trying to manipulate you, that I'm up here just trying to get you to give money, here's what I always say, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you believe that, but you still feel led to give, then just simply give it to a different church. It's very easy. There's lots of great churches in town. You can give it to one of these organizations directly. Like, I am not up here trying to convince you of anything. But if you believe I am, that's why I always say, then just give it somewhere else. Just give it to another church to the glory of God, and it'll all be good. And you'll be able to understand the benefits of it, and you'll be able to look at me again tomorrow. It'll be great. You know, you won't have to worry at all. Because what I've been really thinking through, really leading up to today, is this idea of generosity, and try to answer the question, is it worth it to be generous? Like, is it worth it in times of uncertainty? Is it worth it in times of struggle? Is it worth it to be generous? Does it really matter? And as I was studying for this series, it was really fascinating. I read an article about a study that was performed, I think it was in the UK, in 2017. And they brought other subjects in, and they divided their subjects into two groups, and they told the groups the same thing. They said, in 2 weeks, we're going to give you $100. How does that make you feel? And they're like, it makes me feel great. And for half of the group, the one half of the group, this group one, they said, we're going to give you $100, and you have to spend it on yourself in 1 week. And then for the other group, they said, we're going to give you $100, and you have to spend it on someone else in 1 week. And so they had 2 weeks to think about what to do with the money. And so then they brought them back in before they gave them the money, and they set them up. They connected them to a functional MRI so they could study their brain waves. And here's what they discovered. the people that were told they had to give the money to someone else, they begin asking them what they planned to do. And even as they begin talking about the idea of being generous, about the idea of giving money away, every single indicator our brain gives for happiness, for contentment, for satisfaction was through the roof. And so they tracked these two groups through the process and through the moment, and they found definitively that there was something hardwired in us that found joy and found satisfaction and even happiness in giving money away. That one group was happier when it was done. Now, that's just one study, but I read there are study after study after study. There's countless studies that people understand inherently that there are some benefits of generosity. We always talk about the cost of generosity, but there are some benefits of generosity, and you've experienced those benefits of generosity. If you've ever had an opportunity to give something to someone that they needed and you had and you could share, you've seen the look on their face. You've seen that joy in their eyes, and you've experienced that benefit. Again, it's almost as if God's hardwired us to benefit and to enjoy generosity. Another article I read, this was by a psychiatrist, said that one of his first recommendations for new patients when they tell him they're struggling with anxiety or with mild depression, before he prescribes medicine or anything, he encourages them to be charitable. He encourages them to donate something. He encourages them to give away some money. He encourages them to go serve because, again, there's just something inside of us that's wired to benefit from generosity. And what I want to do today is I want to explain to you what that something is. That's all I want to do. I want to show you why we naturally benefit from being generous, why it's good for us. And then you do with that whatever you want to do. But we've been created by the God of the universe to benefit from being generous. And I know that because Jesus tells us that. I know that because a guy named Paul tells us that. If you're new to Wellspring, we talk about Paul a lot here because he wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. Paul was an early church leader. He would actually go to a new town. He would start a new church, and then he would move on, and then he would write that church letters and other churches letters because they didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. And so Paul would write letters, and what we believe is when Paul was writing those letters, he was writing under the direct influence of the God of the universe. And so we can read Paul's letters now, almost 2,000 years later, and it's as if we're reading letters written to us from God. And so what I want to do today is I want to take you to one of Jesus' most famous teachings, and then I want to take you to one of Paul's letters just to simply help us understand why it's worth it to be generous, why we personally benefit whenever we are generous, specifically in God's name. So first thing I'm going to do is I want to take you to what may be Jesus' most famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus says things like, love your enemy. This is where Jesus says things like, turn the other cheek. This is where Jesus teaches the golden rule. This is where Jesus says things like, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. He says all these things, and he said this because as he was launching his public ministry, as he was launching his movement, he wanted to make it clear. His movement was about beliefs and behaviors. Believe in me and your life will be changed. Behave like me and the world will be changed. That's what he was releasing in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's why he was saying, here's how it's going to be amongst my people. You're going to be different. You're going to behave differently. You're going to love more. You're going to be kinder. You're going to be more charitable. And in Matthew chapter 6, he turns to finances. He turns to resources. And he says, even with your resources, I want you to behave differently. And here's what he says. He says, hey, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Now, what he's tapping into is a normal human response, and it's a human desire to take money, to take our finances, to take our resources, and to establish something on earth that is secure, to establish something on earth that is stable, to establish something on earth that we can count on. And please hear me. He's not saying don't do that. He's not saying don't be wise with money. He's not saying don't be careful with money. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't exclusively do that. He's saying while you're doing that, remember to look beyond yourself, to look beyond your own situation and to look for ways to help others, to look for ways to invest in others, to look for ways to invest in changing other people's lives and making other lives better, because when you do that, you are building eternal treasures. You are building eternal rewards. And so what he's simply trying to say is, hey, keep your eyes open for what maybe my Father wants to do through you in the world. Look for ways to invest and to help what he's doing. And you may say, well, Jesus, why does that matter? And here's his answer. He says, it matters because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. What he means, our awareness will always follow our investment. Wherever we invest, our attention follows. And you know this, you've experienced this. Maybe you've invested, maybe you've dabbled in the stock market. And maybe there was a stock you heard about or you studied and you knew a little bit about it, and then you bought it. And now you know everything about it. You have a Google alert, you track it, you follow it, because you've invested there now, so your awareness is there. Maybe you've started a new business. Maybe you've invested in a friend's business, and you liked the friend before, but you talk to the friend every day now because you are invested, and so your awareness follows. Now, this isn't just with money. Parents, this is why you can tell me every play your son made at first base this year. But if I ask you, what about Tommy? Your answer is, well, who's Tommy? Well, Tommy's the second baseman. Oh, I have no idea what he did. I have no idea. It's because we're invested in the first baseman, not the second baseman. And so our awareness follows our investment. It's why you probably have some great videos of your children's assemblies growing up, but no one else in your class wants to watch those videos. You know why? Because you focused on your kid. You maybe did the one obligatory slow pan of everybody, and then right back to your kid. So if I was trying to watch it, I'd be watching your kid. There's my kid. There he is again. It's completely natural. It's normal. It's what we do. Our awareness is going to follow our investment. That's where our attention is going to go. And so what Jesus is saying is, hey, man, as you are going about your life and as you're providing for your family and building a life, hey, make sure that all your investment just isn't in yourself. Because if you only invest in yourself, you're only going to be aware of yourself. If you only invest in the things that benefit you, you're only going to be aware of those things, and you're going to miss something bigger. You're going to miss something better. You're going to miss something greater. Because what God wants to do is he wants to use you to change the world around you, not just yourself. But you're going to have to invest there as well so that your awareness stays there as well. And we give him what I said with Jesus. Why is this so crucial? And a few verses later, he explains why. He says, here's the reality, guys. No one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And then he says something shocking. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, Jesus could have said anything there, but he said God and money. And I've studied this a long time. You know why he said you cannot serve both God and money? You know what he made that strong line in the sand there? It's because there is nothing on earth that is going to do more to compete with your faith and devotion to God than your money. Nothing competes more, because money in certain pockets and certain times and certain seasons is capable of providing what only God can promise. Money can provide some temporary security until you run out of money and you gotta go get more. Money can provide some temporary happiness. Money can provide some temporary calm, some temporary peace. And if that's all we're aware of, we can begin to believe that it is the source of that peace, and it is the source of that contentment. It is the source of that satisfaction, and it is the source of that hope. And so we invest more, and we invest more, and our awareness follows. And that's where we have to take into account what Jesus just said. He said, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both. So if you find your life serving money and serving money and serving money, what Jesus is saying is, well, you're not serving God. And that might not matter, but it matters desperately to Jesus. And so the inverse is also true. He says, hey, if you take your resources, if you take your treasures, and if you use those things to do things bigger than yourself, beyond yourself, if you use them to bless others, if you use them to invest in the things of God, if you use them in service of me, guess what? Well, you can't serve both God and money. So if you are serving God with your money, you never have to worry about serving money. See, what Jesus did is he turned his chief competitor into a partner. And he said, it's up to you. Just simply use it with me. Just simply use it in service of me. And when you do, you will experience one of the benefits of generosity. And what's the benefit of generosity Jesus is talking about? Generosity protects us, specifically our hearts. Generosity protects our hearts from ever attaching its hope to something futile. Generosity keeps our heart attached to the hope of God, because you can't serve both. And so what he's saying is, hey, just be generous. Just be open. Just be open-handed. Be willing to use it in service of other people. And I promise you, man, you'll never have to worry about falling into the temptations of greed. You'll never have to worry about that, because you can't serve both. And if you serve me, your heart is protected. And that opens us up to another benefit. And this is where I want to turn to Paul. Because Paul not only teaches about this benefit, Paul experienced this benefit of generosity. Specifically, what letter I want to take you to today is 2 Corinthians. And Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's writing them to follow up with a conversation he'd already had. Because Paul is taking an offering. Paul is actually taking a love offering. There is a church that is struggling. Specifically, it's the church in Jerusalem. They're struggling. And so Paul's been talking to some of his other churches who have more resources. And he's been encouraging them to give a generous gift to help the Christians that are struggling in Jerusalem. They're struggling because there's a famine in Jerusalem. They're struggling because the famine has caused the labor market to drop, so there's no jobs in Jerusalem. And they're struggling because at the same time, the Roman government decided to raise taxes. And so they are struggling. And so Paul's been asking people, hey, let's be generous here. Let's be helpful. And he knows it. Jesus says, man, when we're generous, when we open it up, man, it's going to protect our heart. But then he also taps into another benefit. So specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's following up with the Corinthians. He's already taught them about giving. And he's giving them some final instructions on how to decide to give, how much to give, that kind of stuff. And the opening picture he uses is so helpful that I think it's worth it for us to look at it today. Because, again, it reveals this benefit, this what's in it for me about generosity. Here's what he says. He opens up with a word picture. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, again, not a lot of farmers in the room, but I think we can all understand this. If you plant two rows of crops, you're going to get two rows of crops. If you plant 10 rows of crops, you're going to get 10 rows of crops. And what Paul's point is it's completely up to the farmer what he plants. Everybody understands that. The farmer decides how much he plants based on how much he wants to yield. It makes perfect sense. And so then he turns the picture to us, and he says this. He says, so you each must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly, or don't give in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. If you grew up in church, you've probably heard that. God loves a cheerful giver. And every time you ever give, people say, be a cheerful giver. And you've probably written a check to a church, and you walked out, and you said, I'm not cheerful about it. I mean, I gave, but I'm not cheerful. And you probably thought this. Who in the world is actually a cheerful giver? And you know who is a cheerful giver? You are. Anytime you give a gift to someone you love. Think about birthdays. Think about Christmas. Doesn't it feel great to pick out that perfect gift, to take it to them, to watch them open? You know they want it. Their eyes light up. There's no better feeling in the world. I am the world's worst at this. I like this feeling so much that holidays mean nothing to me. Birthdays, Christmas, nothing. The second I have the present in my hand for the other person, I want to give it to them. You know, I'm like, I don't care that Christmas is 2 weeks away. I want you to have it now. Like, I have ruined so many holidays because I just can't wait because I'm so cheerful about it. I'm not trying to give it to them because you better say thank you. No, there is joy. There is joy in giving something to someone you love. You know this. I know this. We all know this. And so when God says, when Paul is quoting there, actually quoting Jesus, where he's saying, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. Be a cheerful giver. See, what he's pointing out is, he says, you're cheerful when you give stuff to people you love. Well, no matter what you give away, you're giving it to someone I love. And it makes me cheerful. And so I want you to be cheerful in my name. And we would say back, well, God, that's real nice and all, but it's my money. And I want to give my money to people I love. And God would say, well, that's real nice and all, but no, it's not. Everything you have, God would say, the skills, the gifts, the strengths, the abilities you have because I provided them for you. I gave you those opportunities. I gave you those abilities. I opened that door, and I do it gladly. But let's be clear. I'm the one who provides all this. And in fact, the reason my son wanted to make it so clear to you to invest in the things of heaven and not the things of earth was that your heart would stay attached to the things of heaven so you would never take credit for the things of earth. Because once you start to take credit for the things of earth and think it's yours, then you start to defend it, you start to fight for it, and your hope begins to wander. And so what God would say is, it's very simple. Yes, you are, on my behalf, being generous with things I've given you to people I love, people that I hope you will love. And when you do that, you can be cheerful about it because that generosity is going to unlock yet another benefit from God. What's the benefit? Let's keep reading. He says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. See, when we remember it's his, not ours, and we're sharing on his behalf, then we remember he's responsible for providing it. And when we remember he's responsible for providing it, we feel less control over it and more gratitude. Now, you can read that verse, and it sounds like what he's saying is if you give money away, God's going to give you more money. And if you think that's what it sounds like, let me read the next verse. He says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. I mean, seriously, that sounds like if I give money away today, God's going to give me more money tomorrow. Let me be very clear. That is not what it means. Here's what it means. As we become comfortable with the fact that it's God's resources and not ours, and as we become comfortable sharing in his name, on his behalf, with the people he loves, we do get more of something. But it's not necessarily money. We get more of God. We get more of his heart. We get more of him inside of us. And when there is more of God in us, he is freer to trust us with bigger tasks in his name. Now, sometimes that might mean he is going to unleash more financial resources on you to be generous to other people. Sometimes that means it's going to unleash more compassion in you and more understanding. What it definitely means is it's going to produce more joy, more peace, more patience, more satisfaction, more contentment. That word happiness we always throw around but don't really know what it means. See, what Paul is trying to say is, guys, when we get that God is the one who provides it all, and we can truly learn to be generous in his name, we tap into the second benefit. That first benefit we've already talked about. Generosity protects us. You know what generosity also does? Produces more. More what? God. More of his power, more of his spirit, more of his provision, more of his love, and yes, sometimes more of his resources. This is why at our church we have a core value. We talk about it all the time. We get to give. What that means for us is this. The only reason I can give back to God is because he gave to me first. I am simply returning to him what's mine. He gave me this world first. He gave me his son first. He gave me the skills and talents and abilities I have that allow me to make a living first. He gave me these opportunities first. He provides first. And so anything we could do, we get to do in his name is because we get to do it. We get to respond. We get to return what is his. So let's go back again. The benefits of generosity, man, it protects our heart. It keeps us from wandering and attaching false hope. It produces more. It produces more of God's power in us. But there's one more benefit to generosity. And this is the benefit I don't want us to mention today, because this one doesn't benefit us. See, generosity protects us. Generosity provides more of God in our lives. But generosity also does something for the world, and it's this. It provides hope. Do you know every time you are generous in Jesus' name, you are literally playing a role in someone else's miracle? Someone prayed. Someone wondered. They didn't know where the provision was going to come from, and your generous act, your sharing act, your help provides hope. Generosity is a tangible chance for us to be Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet. It is a chance for us to play a role in someone else's miracle. And that is quite a benefit. So, as we get ready to give our Love and Be offering this year, we thought it would be really cool, before we did that, for you to see a few more of the faces and a few more of the lives who have received hope through the help you've given over the last 12 months. And so as we all prayerfully consider what God would want us to do today in terms of generosity, I pray that your hearts are open and warmed by what he's been doing over the last 12 months. Check this out.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Through Jesus Christ, love you'll find. No, love does not envy. It has no range. Do unto others and the whole world you'll change. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Just be kind to others, for this God's shown. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Give love to all, and blessings God brings. Love never fails.
Wellspring, thank you for giving to SOS Care. Your giving has allowed us to purchase kitchen essentials and equipment for Oak Tree Farm, our affordable housing community for adults with autism.
Wellspring, thank you. We are just getting started. Thank you for helping us love those who are homeless in our community.
Wellspring, thank you for giving so much love to the New Directions Family Shelter over the years. When COVID first affected us, you all were there to remind our families that they are loved by providing meals and an amazing menu, as well as ensuring we had enough blankets, sheets, towels, and pillows for our families.
Thank you also for building a garden. It allows our clients to plant seeds and watch them grow.
Wellspring, thank you so much for giving to SOS Care. Your giving allows us to keep people safe with our Project Lifesaver program.
Your giving has allowed us to provide a great outdoor space for our children to play.
Your giving has also helped us keep the clinic clean throughout our pandemic, so we really, really appreciate it. But we're just getting started. So thank you for helping us love our clients with disabilities.
Throughout this time of both virtual and hybrid learning, we're able to give back to our community. So thank you so much for allowing us to love the children of Horry County.
Your giving has allowed us to do the necessary cleaning and sanitizing to keep staff and clients safe during COVID. We're just getting started, and thank you for helping us love Horry County.
We really appreciate the donation, and your donation will go towards putting books in children's hands in our communities. So a huge thank you.
I would like to thank everybody at Wellspring Church for your continued support and your financial contributions to help us at Fostering Hope to make sure that we are here to provide services to those children who are entering foster care and other crisis situations.
Just an example, when we first moved into our building, 30 members from the church came over, and helped us paint the entire interior of our building in a half a day.
I just want to say thank you, Wellspring Church, for your generous donations. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything. We really appreciate it. Thank you for getting my son everything that he needed for Christmas and everything that he wanted. He especially loved that big green dinosaur with his name on it. I really appreciate it. You made the holidays a lot easier.
Thank you, Well Springs Church, for partnering with Habitat. I just want to say thank you for having a heart to give, and you are truly a blessing to our family.
Well Spring, thank you for all you have done for the homeless and staff at New Directions. I'm currently staying here, and this place is a godsend for all homeless in the Myrtle Beach community. Again, thank you for all of your help and compassion. God bless.
Wellspring, thank you.
Wellspring, thank you.
Wellspring, thank you.
Wellsprings, thank you.
We are sending out greatly appreciation to the Wellsprings Church for the 2019 Christmas gifts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.